Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Welcome to The Drift, everybody. Brandon Drake hanging out with you on this fine Saturday afternoon. Gary Wellings is away, but don't worry. Gary will be back next week. We're going to have some fun today. Got a great show lined up for you. Joining me in the studio is Pastor Richard Dietering, the creator and voice of A Moment of Clarity in American History. Pastor Rick, thanks so much for coming in, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, and good morning to you, Drake. I'm glad you have me on this morning.
Hey, it's a pleasure. And, of course, Wham's Weekend Warrior Super Producer, Stone Cold, Derek Stone, making it all happen behind the scenes. Derek, how are you, my brother?
I'm doing pretty good, Drake.
Derek will be taking your phone call. 734-822-1600 is the studio line. Call in and Derek will patch you through to me and we'll put you on the air. Would love to hear your thoughts. Derek, hold tight. Want to get back to you right after I take care of some business and pay some bills. Wham! Listeners, if you haven't already, you'll want to subscribe to the Current newspaper. The Current is a conservative grassroots community newspaper with Gary Wellings as the chief editor. The Current has grown to over 30,000 subscribers, and you can get a free subscription, and a print edition will be mailed to you for absolutely free, or you can read it online by visiting www.currentonline.com. As Gary would say, that's CourantOnline.com. And if you own a business, you definitely want to advertise in the Current because you get a lot of bang for your buck, and it's a great way to get the word out about your business. You'll also want to visit thedailydrift.com, where you can cut through the internet chatter and get the news you need to know. And if you miss any of this show, the Drift Radio Show, of course, podcasts are available for you at thedailydrift.com. To contact Gary Wellings, the chief editor of the Current newspaper and proprietor of thedailydrift.com, you can call him at 734-629-6010 or email him at gary@thedailydrift.com. Now, this half-hour sponsor is Pawn to You. For collateralized personal and business loans, go to the professionals at Pawn to You. Are you paying high interest rates on your credit card debt? Are you having a hard time making those monthly payments? Do you have valuables at home collecting dust? Let the experts at Pawn to You see if they can turn your valuables into cash at a lower interest rate than you may be paying on your current credit card debt. Pawn to You makes cash loans of any duration, backed by your personal or business assets with no background or credit checks required. Your privacy is guaranteed, and Pawn to You can come to your home or business at your convenience. Email pawnloans@yahoo.com, that is, or call 734-389-5228. That's 734-389-5228, or go to www.pawntoyou.com. That's pawn, the number two, you.com. Now,
I have to say this. You handle that teleprompter like a pro. I mean, you're good. You could be president.
You know, I was going to say, it's funny you say that, because I was going to say earlier, I don't have a teleprompter, and I really want one. Okay, now we're going to get into some political ranting today, of course, because that's why Drift listeners tune in. So you will get your political fix, don't worry, but we're going to have a little fun. We're going to deviate a little bit in the beginning of the show. We're going to talk some sports. And Derek, the University of Michigan football team wrapped up their regular season last Saturday. I thought they were going to get killed by undefeated Ohio State. I think Ohio State was ranked number 3 going into that game. I was walking around the radio station saying that Michigan would be beat by 30, 40, maybe even 50 points because Ohio State would just run up the score on us for a lot of reasons. Michigan lost that game in the last seconds. They went for 2 to try to win instead of kicking the extra point to take their chances in overtime. But you know what? I think Michigan can hold their heads high after that game, even though it was a loss.
Well, definitely, Drake. It was definitely one of those games where I thought, as much as you did, that the Wolverines were going to get lambasted. But I got to tell you, Brady Hoke had him ready to play, and he did the right thing in going for 2 there in the final minute of the game to try to win it, because the Wolverines just were having so many problems stopping the Ohio State running game. I just don't think the Wolverines could have pulled it out in overtime anyhow.
I totally agree with you. I think they should have went for two. However, I question, it was kind of a drop back pass and the ball was intercepted in the end zone. I think if it was a play action pass and Devin Gardner had the option of running it in or throwing on the run, I think the outcome may have been a little different.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that the whole option of him having to either run or pass would have been a lot better choice in that situation, given Devin Gardner's great running ability. I think that would have been the better choice.
It seemed like a hole opened up to get to Devin Gardner's left, and he kind of could have maybe adjusted a little bit and dove in. But, hey, Michigan, I think, did pretty well, and Brady Hoke, maybe the heat is down a little bit after that performance. And, of course, Ohio State may have been exposed. They're really not the juggernaut that we all thought they were.
Oh, no, not at all, especially if Michigan, who's had so many problems with their offensive line this year in pass protection and run blocking as well, if Michigan can do this to Ohio State, imagine what Michigan State's going to do to them, especially considering what Michigan State did to us earlier in the season.
Well, you know, you mentioned Michigan State, and the Big Ten Conference Championship game is today. Ohio State's number two now, undefeated. Michigan State is number 10. They had a great season. I'm thinking that Michigan State is going to upset Ohio State because I don't think Ohio State is all that great, and I think Michigan State's got a great defense that's going to overcome.
Oh, yeah, Michigan State's got one of the best defenses in the country statistically, so it wouldn't surprise me at all if they beat the Buckeyes tonight. But a lot of the national pundits seem to be favoring Ohio State. Oh, because it's a name, that's why they're going with Ohio State. But in my mind, I think the Spartans are going to win it.
I think they will upset Ohio State. I hope they do. I'm not a Michigan State fan by any means, but I want to see Ohio State's perfect record destroyed. Now, there are a lot of conference championship games going on today. It's a conference championship Saturday. I'm not going to get into all of them. But the other one that's really important for a national championship implication, of course, is the SEC championship game. You have number 3 Auburn taking on number 5 Missouri. And once again, I'm going to predict an upset. I think Missouri is overlooked. I think they're just totally underrated. I think they're much better than people think they are. And I think they're going to beat Auburn.
Oh, that's definitely a very distinct possibility, considering the fact that Auburn had a huge emotional win last week over their arch rival Alabama on that last second kick or missed field goal return for a touchdown. That was an unbelievable game. I think the emotions from that game, there could definitely be a letdown with Auburn. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think Missouri is going to upset the Auburn Tigers tonight based on that fact.
I hope they do, and then I hope Missouri gets over Ohio State and gets into the national championship game. And you mentioned the Alabama-Auburn game, the Iron Bowl. That was one of the greatest plays, 1 second left on the clock when he ran that ball back for 109 yards to win it. I showed that play on YouTube to Theron, who claims to hate sports, doesn't watch sports, but even he loved seeing that. He was fired up, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely probably the greatest play I've ever seen in my lifetime. Taking a missed field goal back for 109 yards. Well, actually, in the NCAA record books, it only counts as 100.
Right.
For whatever reason, I don't know. But still, it was quite an amazing feat. And you got to tip your hat to Auburn for having their guys ready for that play.
Yeah, it was great. Now, Pastor Rick, I am not ignoring you, even though it seems like it, because the 7-5 Wolverines also happen to have the same record as your Detroit Lions, 7-5, who happen to be the leaders in the NFC North, a crappy, crappy division. And the Lions just happen to be, in my opinion, less crappy than the other three teams in that division. Tell me your thoughts.
Wow. You know, I
have
was
no confidence
I was
in the
Lions,
Lions
fan back when it wasn't cool. I mean, that goes, what, 2 weeks
it's
ago?
It's still not cool.
I've been a Lions fan my whole life. I'll tell you what, here's my prediction. There's two ifs, and I believe they're very possible ifs. If the Lions beat the Eagles and beat St. Louis, they will win the Super Bowl.
Well, they certainly have the potential.
I will say, and they do have the potential to do both.
Yes.
I will say if they beat the Eagles this weekend, they are going to the Super Bowl. I mean, they're going to make it through the finals to the Super Bowl. I think they're that good.
I question the Lions' consistency in anything and everything, but if you think that, hey, I can't argue against it.
I think at this point they learned their humility a few weeks ago when they got beat up. But I think they've pulled together as a team. I think they're going to continue playing like they did against Green Bay. And we will see a team that can move the ball down the field quickly and score quickly. I hope they work a little bit more on their defense.
Well, you know what? It's easy to play like they did against Green Bay when Green Bay doesn't have their all-pro quarterback who may be the best quarterback in the league.
Okay. You see.
Bad example, right?
That's a bad example. Yeah, okay. It was Green Bay, all right? We beat Green Bay.
Yeah.
All right? We beat Green Bay on Thanksgiving. That's all you have to say. It shows we're moving.
They're a shell of themselves, but hey, they beat them anyway. Derek, what's your predictions? Lions go to the Super Bowl?
I'm not so sure about that because I'm not sold on the passing defense. They're one of the worst in the league. Yeah, they've got a top five running defense, and they've got the great arsenal on offense with Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson and Reggie Bush, obviously. But at the same time, the offense kind of disappears at times, and they just look all out of sorts for some reason. I don't understand why. But yeah, I think maybe just the first round of the playoffs – In my mind, depending on who they get, that all depends, too. If they end up with the 49ers, who I believe is who they play right now in the first round, that's going to be tough for them. So it just all depends. They have to get a better draw to win at least one game.
Do you think if they pull it together on their interceptions, and that's their weakness, is they tend to lose the ball too quickly. But if they pull it together on the interceptions, I see them doing extremely well.
And I want to see their defensive line just really go after, tomorrow against Nick Foles, who is like the quarterback in the league right now with 19 touchdowns and no interceptions. He came out of nowhere to be the star.
And again, because I will not be on the show next week, I'll make this prediction because then you can't make fun of me if it doesn't come true. Oh, I know you will. Yeah. I just won't have to hear it. I am saying Detroit wins tomorrow.
Okay.
Wins by three.
All right. Awesome. I have no respect for the Lions. I think they're the most underachieving team in the past 15 years. All these top 10 draft picks. They get a number one pick, a number two pick year after year. Free agency when they make their trades. And they still can't get to the playoffs. So if they get to the playoffs this year, okay, I'm looking at it like big deal. They should have done this year after year for the last several years. So, Derek,
just because they haven't done it for the last several years doesn't mean something if they do it this year.
I want to see a better record consistently.
Yeah, the Lions are definitely one of those teaser type teams. They definitely could be that Super Bowl championship contender, or they could just be a laughing stock like they've been for so long. But they're just somewhere in the middle right now, and
they should be higher.
Yeah, they should be. Yeah, all the great draft picks that they've had in recent years.
We've been handed Matt Stafford, the number one pick overall. Calvin Johnson, the number two pick overall, who's supposed to be the best receiver in the league. And Ndamukong Suh, probably the best defensive lineman in the league. We got Reggie Bush, who I think is a star for the Lions. But we don't accomplish anything on a consistent basis.
I'm going to have to play you to an anti-bullying commercial or something. You guys are just beating up on my Lions. I'm feeling kind of left. I'm feeling kind of shoved in the corner here. I'm telling you guys, you got it. The Lions are great this year.
Listen, you're a man of faith, and we need you on the show to offset my negativity. All right, now Derek Stone, we just got through gorging ourselves at Thanksgiving a little over a week ago. Christmas is about 3 weeks away. We're in between holidays, right? Okay.
Yep.
We're in between holidays. I'm feeling like we got to bring another holiday in because, well, it's partly just my personality, and I have this hankering to do something ever since I've been on this show. So you know what it's time for? The holiday that I'm looking for is this.
Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Yes, Festivus. I have a lot of problems with you people. Not necessarily our Wham! Listeners, of course, but the example I'm going to give, I think, is a reflection of our overall society. And this is what all of us experience every day, and that is bad drivers on the road. And this isn't the exception. This is now the norm. When I'm driving to work, I see people tailgating 80 miles an hour, 2-3 feet off each other's bumpers. Nobody uses turn signals anymore. Almost more stupidly, if they do use their turn signal, they use their turn signal as they're making the turn. Come on, people. You're supposed to use your turn signal before you hit your brakes and before you make the turn so I don't run right into the back of you. It goes on and on. I mean, and of course, now we have smartphones, so everybody's texting as they're driving. Have you noticed that when you're driving along, the person isn't paying attention to the road? They're paying attention to who may have just texted them, and they want to respond to that text. I call it the text head bounce. These dummies where their heads are bouncing up and down as they're driving down the road because every once in a while, they want to look out their windshield to see, wow, where am I at on the road? Is there anybody around me? Okay, I can go back to my texting. Pastor Rick,
am I wrong? I tell you, no, you're not wrong. I don't text while I'm driving. Well, for two reasons.
It's illegal.
First, it's illegal. Second,
and unenforced.
Yeah, it's illegal. And second, I'd have to set down my coffee and donut to text.
Well, here's the thing, and I say it's a reflection of our overall society, and that's why I bring it up on this show, is people don't pay attention to current events. They don't pay attention to politics. Look who we elected president the last few times. People are clueless, and I think and they're not courteous. They're not respectful. Driving has become secondary in this example because people are – it's all about them. And they don't – either they're just oblivious and they don't mean to be rude and disrespectful and dangerous on the road, or they just know they are and they don't care.
No. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's the electronic gauge. And here's my example. Everything is pixels now. The whole knockout game, it's all pixelated. People think they're playing online games.
Right.
When they're driving, it's now an online game. They don't understand they have a ton or more, 2 tons of material around them that is a driving weapon. And they think they're on Grand Theft Auto.
It's a distortion from reality, this addiction to the digital world that we have. And we have 14, 15-year-olds that will soon have their driver's licenses, and they're going to be on the roads more addicted than ever. I have friends that have teenage kids. These kids don't sleep all night because they're addicted to their phone. It's constant communication and stimulation in a very bad way.
I'm telling you, to our listeners that in Monroe County, stay off the sidewalks. My grandson just got his driver's license. I mean, sir.
Thanks for the warning.
Well, yeah.
You know, and here's the thing, too. Okay, we always hear about how police have to be cut because of all these budget problems and constraints and lack of revenues and the economy and everything's so bad. You know what? Law enforcement, which I have the greatest respect for, enforce the driving laws. You know what? Raise some revenues. I'm not saying that you entrap people and give them tickets for when they're really obeying the law and you try to give them a ticket because you're claiming they aren't to raise money. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it's a no-brainer. Go out and enforce the laws, and you're not doing it.
Well,
make
you see,
some
instead
examples.
Of they would rather write new laws than enforce the old ones.
That seems to be the case. Yeah, let's just keep the paperwork flowing and not enforce what we've already got. Okay, Derek is taking a phone call right there. I'm going to, you know what, we got so much to cover, and I know I'm making the rookie mistake of trying to fit too much in. This is my very first time, folks, ever of hosting a show, so bear with me. I've told others during the week it could be a train wreck, and, well, the hour is still young. You know what, today, on a more serious subject, I know we're joking around a little bit here, but today is December 7th, and today is the 72nd anniversary of Pearl Harbor, and there were 2,402 Americans killed, 1,247 wounded 72 years ago. And callers, hold on. I am going to get to you. 1,247 wounded 72 years ago at Pearl Harbor. Pastor Rick, you were at the USS Arizona. You told me a very touching story, and I didn't know about this until you told me.
Well, it's a couple of stories. I had the honor of standing guard at the USS Arizona. And it's a very touching situation. The people that come there come...
You were standing guard.
Yes.
This is when you were in the Navy.
Yes, yes.
Fantastic.
And I'll tell you, the people came with great reverence. You would see family members of those lost coming. And, I mean, a lot of times these people would act as if it was the day of December 7th as far as losing their loved one. And they come and visit. But what's amazing is the Arizona puts up what's called black tears. It's a little drop of oil every now and then that just pops up to remind us, of the great loss that we had and how many of our beloved servicemen are buried at that memorial. People don't understand, is they think that's just a memorial. There are people buried there at sea.
For the past 72 years.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a grave site of some of our servicemen. It's very touching. I refuse anyone to go there and keep a dry eye. It can't happen.
And that's what really affected me when you told me that story, because not only did I not know about the black tears or the Arizona tears, but the effect that it has on you.
Yeah, it even as a serviceman standing guard there, it's hard to keep a straight face and stand guard with all the emotion around you. It's a very emotional experience. You go home and you put things in perspective.
December 7th, 1941. An aerial strike force gathers and executes a surprise attack on the U.S. Pacific Fleet at Pearl Harbor. Its aim, to bring a nation to its knees. Thousands die in one of the most devastating defeats in military history.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God.
You're listening to The Drift. We'll be right back. To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies a piece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper. Everybody needs some time to just turn on the radio and rock. You'll love Theron's Saturday Night Rock and Rhythm Review. It all gets underway at 4 p.m. with the Saturday edition of the Bone Conduction Music Show. From 6 to 8, get hip to Fast Eddie, spinning the classics on Eddie's Caravan. At 8 o'clock, we explore America's roots music with Radio John D. in the Greasy Skillet. Then, Johnny Danger invites you to go cruising with the very best oldies from 10 to midnight. Dan Martin brings you the finest music from the United Kingdom on London Calling at midnight. From 2 a.m. to 4, it's Del Villarreal's Rockabilly Fest, Go Cat Go. Theron's Saturday Night Rock and Rhythm Review. It all starts at 4 p.m. Saturday, only on the musical side of Wham! You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Welcome back to The Drift. Brandon Drake actually sitting in with you today, joined by Pastor Richard Dietering.
Hello, and I'm going to call you Ducky from now on.
No.
Just because of how you treated my lions.
No Ducky on this show.
All right.
Okay, hey, I promise we're going to get to a political rant, and I'm just going to give a little teaser right now, because what this is about is an event that's going to be coming upon us sooner than you think. In fact, it's starting already. And I'm going to give a little teaser and say that the polls indicate it'll happen, and the media absolutely insists upon it. Can you guess what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about, Drake.
You know what I'm talking about?
I'm not going to give it away. I'll let the listeners guess.
Okay. Let's see. Who do we have on line one? Is that Jenny? Jenny.
Jenny, Jenny, who can I turn to?
Hey, Jenny. How are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, did you like the little theme song I prepared for you?
Yeah, that was cute.
What do you got for us?
Hey, Pastor Rick. How you doing,
bro? Doing well, Jenny. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I told these guys a couple weeks ago that I met you.
Yes, you did. Yes,
you
did.
So now you can prove it.
Yeah, we met each other. A friend of mine had passed away a few weeks ago. Jenny plays piano at the church where the memorial was at, and so I had a chance to meet Jenny, a wonderful listener. She was a great joy to sit down and talk to. My wife absolutely fell in love with you, Jenny.
That's sweet, because I love both of you, too. I can't wait to see you again sometime.
Hey, Jenny, thanks for the call. Call back if you want. We're running out of time here. He's Pastor Richard Dietering. He's Derek Stone. You're doing it with the Drake on the Drift. We'll be right back.
I don't even like Drake.
You don't like the Drake?
I hate the Drake.
I love the Drake.
How could you not like the Drake?
Who's the Drake?
Who's the Drake?
The Drake is good.
People are always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Back on American soil, the Korean War vet detained by North Korea for 6 weeks.
It's been a great, great homecoming, and I'm tired, but ready to be with my family.
Merrill Newman speaking at San Francisco Airport. He was detained in late October, some six decades after he oversaw a group of South Korean wartime guerrillas during the war.
He looked tired. He looked somewhat strained, and he said he was very much tired, but he appeared to be in very good health. And he was very quickly swept away by his family, probably returning to their Palo Alto home here in California.
Fox's Dominic DiNatale at Pearl Harbor. Commemorations marking the bombing 72 years ago. The crowd observing a moment of silence at 7:55 a.m. local time. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Dexter Community Band will present their 30th holiday concert Sunday, December 8th at 2 p.m. This concert will be held in the Center for the Performing Arts at Dexter High School, located at 2200 North Parker Road. Please note the 2 p.m. starting time is an hour earlier than the band's normal starting time. The concert is free and open to the public. Handicapped access is available for the young and young at heart members of the audience. Santa will make a quick appearance to check if all have been good this year. He will have candy canes for the children in the audience. The concert will close with the band and the voices of the audience blending as one in a Christmas sing-along. After the concert, the audience is invited to join the band for cookies and punch. For further information, call 734-426-2734. Do something special this year by adopting a family or senior citizen through the Adopt a Family program of Volunteers of America, Michigan. Your cash donation or direct sponsorship can help someone have a brighter holiday season. For more information, call 248-353-4862 or visit adoptafamilymichigan.org. Wham Talk 1600 and the Salvation Army are conducting our 7th annual toy drive. The goal is to collect 1,600 toys for 1,600 girls and boys for children in need in Washtenaw County. Drop off your toys at our sponsor locations listed on the whamradio.com website. Let's make sure every child has a wonderful Christmas. For more information, call 734-971-1600, extension 23.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham Talk 1600. In touch with your community. You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Welcome back, everybody. Brandon Drake sitting here with Pastor Richard Dietering. Pastor Rick, it's always a pleasure.
Oh, it's great. It's great fun being here today, Drake. Great fun.
Hey, thanks for coming in. And our callers, I so apologize for keeping you on hold. The lines were lit up. And again, I'm a rookie, so you're going to have to bear with me. But this half hour's sponsor, before we get started, is The Current. As I mentioned earlier in the show, if you haven't subscribed already, you're going to want to do that because The Current is a conservative and, most importantly, grassroots community newspaper with Gary Wellings as the chief editor. And The Current has grown to over 30,000 subscribers. You can get a free subscription, a free print hard copy delivered to your home or business.
Hold on. Did you say free?
And hard copy. Not necessarily digital that you know, always get stuck with these days. But if you prefer a digital read, you can go to www.currentonline.com. And again, as Gary always says, that's C-O-U R-A-N-T, online.com. And you know what I noticed is that I never thought of this before, so I guess I'm a dummy, is the C-O, right?
Yeah.
And then you, and the next word is rant.
Well.
Which is what I'm known for. Yeah. Online.com. And if you own a business, advertise in the Current. Get the word out because you're going to get a lot of exposure in Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties.
It's not a rant without you.
Yeah, yeah, I can rant with the best of them. I'm a little nervous right now, but I can rant with the best of them.
Why are you nervous?
I don't know. I just feel a little nervous, I guess, because I'm in the hot seat. I'm in the captain's seat. Gary usually sits here. I'm usually the co-host making the wisecracks. Okay, we're going to get to our political rant now. And Derek's taking a call, so I'm going to give him a break and not make him juggle five balls at once like he normally has to do. Let me tell you something, people. Derek Stone is crucial to these weekend shows.
I know.
Without him, it doesn't happen.
He wasn't here 45 minutes before the show, and you were in a panic.
Yeah.
Where is he at? I'm just saying, we got 45 minutes. Yeah, relax.
I looked out in the parking lot like five times for him, and then I even texted him.
He looked like a young girl waiting for her prom date to show up.
But, okay, let's I wish I just looked young. Okay. Our political rant, I said earlier that the polls indicate it and the media insists upon it. And what this is Hillary Clinton, we're all told, is going to be our next president. And she's anointed by the media. She's anointed by the almost everybody. If you talk to anybody about Hillary Clinton, this is what you hear. Oh, she's so smart. She's so experienced. She was the best Secretary of State ever. She deserves to be president, blah, blah, blah. She's a business-friendly moderate.
Well,
everything is false. She's not smart. She's stupid. She's psychotic. And she's not a business-friendly moderate. She is an empty pantsuit. And you know what? I don't have anything personally against her, per se. Not because she's a woman. Not because her last name is Clinton. But you would not have heard of this woman unless her last name was Clinton.
Absolutely.
And people say, oh, you know, times were so good. I'm sorry, Rick. Times were so good when Bill Clinton was in office. I had money in my pocket and the stock market was booming and blah, blah, blah. And they project that onto Hillary Clinton. She has no experience. She's been a failure at everything she's ever tried in the public sector. She has no morals. And okay, go ahead, Rick.
I was just going to say, I don't know if we have to really worry about Hillary. She's already talking about her personal stories now, which means she's run out of talking points, which means, and we're not even at campaign season yet, and she's run out of things to talk about, so she has to tell her personal stories. I think any strong Republican will come in and clean her clock.
I hope you're right. I don't know if I believe that. I really hope you're right. Here's the thing. I know what some listeners may be thinking right now. Oh, Drake, why are you bringing up Hillary Clinton? The election's not for 3 years. If she's elected, she'll be 69, by the way, if she's elected. She won't be sworn in until January of 2017. It's way too early. You know what? It's not too early. We need to shine a light on this black hole. We need to shine a light and debunk her brilliance and how she deserves to be president. We've got to get this conversation started on a consistent basis right now, because I honestly believe that as bad off as we are now, if she is elected president, it'll be the final nail in the coffin for this country. We'll never come back.
I don't know if it's going to be the final nail.
Well, pretty
let's
close.
Face it.
Final,
she's
final's,
she's
a hard, spend, final's she, extreme.
She'll spend 4 years doing her nails.
Yeah. All right. A lot of talk about health care. A lot of talk about Obamacare, right? Derek, let's go with cut one.
Hello, this is Hillary Clinton. I want to thank you for letting me speak with you about an issue that is central to our children's future and critical in our fight to restore this nation's economy, solving our nation's health care crisis. The message is simple. It's time to bring about fundamental change, control our nation's soaring health care costs, and provide security for American families again. Since we first came to Washington, I've been chairing the President's Task Force on Health Care. The system's broke, and it's time to fix it. Since January, people from all over the government have been working round the clock to come up with a comprehensive health care reform package. But let me say up front, we are going to preserve American medical care at its best. The superior technology our doctors need and the flexibility that our people demand. We will maintain the highest quality medical care in the world and the individual's right to choose a doctor. People need a health care system that controls costs and provides security to families. We must act now. I ask you to join me and the president in working for fundamental change in America's healthcare system.
Okay, now, does it sound like she's talking about Obamacare?
Yes.
But all those, that crapola, that those grandiose promises that Obamacare is made up of?
Hmm?
She's talking about Hillary Care from 20 years ago.
I did notice she said we could keep our own doctor.
All these promises that it's just this utopian vision that is total political speak crap. Total crap. When big government takes over something like our health care, we know that it's going to be a disaster because government is not good at running anything. They're not efficient at anything, and we're seeing what's happening now. So to say that she's this business-friendly moderate, is that the talk? Is that the talk of a business-friendly moderate that wants to have the government take over your health care?
Great.
From 20 years ago.
What are you trying to tell me here? I won't be able to keep my own doctor?
And we want to restore our children's future and the nation's economy and bring about fundamental change to control costs and provide security to families. The system's broke. It's time to fix it. People from all over the government have come together working around the clock. That sounds really familiar to me.
Yeah, I think we should all be singing Kumbaya around the campfire. The problem is that we're facing here is a very liberal government that thinks has this utopia in mind. And I'm telling you, folks, you cannot have a man-made utopia. And no matter how much they promise one, it's not going to happen. You will not be able to keep your provider, all right?
She says, preserve medical care at its best, superior technology our doctors need, and the flexibility our people demand, and to maintain the highest quality of medical care in the world, and the individual's right to choose their own doctor. Tell that to the people now.
Right. She is spouting Obamacare before it even happened.
Okay, you know what? I have been very, very bad at taking calls, so we're going to go with Mike from Livonia, who called back. I really appreciate it, Mike. And Mike, welcome to The Drift.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You know, I was going to make a comment about the driving, but...
Yeah, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, but to the conversation about Hillary Clinton, I mean, I don't think the country, we're being subjected to 8 years of an empty suit, and then it'd get possibly 4 and possibly 8 years of an empty pant suit. I don't know if we could survive that. And so
exactly.
I think that one thing in regards to Hillary, I don't think you're too early at all. I was already driving here last week, and I saw a bumper sticker that's out there. I'm ready for Hillary in 2016, so it's already begun. And what the left does with their Solinsky tactics is that they, the same way that they so idolized and aggrandized Obama, they're going to do the same thing where Hillary, where if you put out an opposing point of view from a fact-based perspective, you're attacked as being anti-woman or not tolerant, or you're the idiot because you're just not smart enough to appreciate the level of intellect that Hillary is supposed to bring to the position. So I think you guys are right on point there.
Well, Mike, you're absolutely right. And what she's going to come back with, like she did during the Benghazi hearings, she's going to put on a hissy fit and get away with it. She didn't answer any questions. She basically disavowed any responsibility for anything so she can run for president. She puts on this hissy fit, and everyone's like intimidated because she's Hillary Clinton and a woman. That's our commander-in-chief in the future?
She gets away with it only in this aspect. I mean, you can already see what's being done with Obama because he's now being called out to some degree about the so many lies. Now some of the talking points have started to begin. I've been hearing them recently on the talking head shows. Well, all presidents lie because sometimes the American people, we can't tell you everything, so we have to lie instead of being transparent. Well, the only time that lying is tolerated by the media, if it's by a liberal Democrat in office, because if a Republican is in office, lying is called out specifically for what it is a lie, and they don't get the pass. I mean, if any of these current events had taken place with the Republicans, then the media would be doing deep dives on all these horrors that we've been subjected to. So I don't see how a Republican in the future, or a conservative, if the media tries to call them out for something, even if it's warranted, when you've let Democrats say, I don't know, or I can't remember, hundreds of times, and you let them get away with it, it would only once again reinforce the hypocrisy of the lapdog media when trying to hold one party to a higher set of standards than they do the ones that they're aligned with.
Hey, Mike, you made absolutely great points. I agree 100%. If it's a conservative, if it's a Republican, they are lambasted on a consistent basis. The drumbeat never stops. If it's a Democrat, and especially, I hate to say it, but like a woman like Hillary Clinton, you're going to hear about it for maybe, what, a day at the most? Right. And we're going to get into some more audio to prove that. Mike, thanks so much for the call.
Have a great day, guys.
You too. Take care. Thanks for listening. Okay, let's go to John from Farmington Hills, who's been waiting for a while. And Cindy, call back. I saw that you hung up, and I deeply apologize. John, welcome. John, welcome. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. It's great to hear both of you. Pastor, I'm speaking a bit more to you, but also the radio host. You guys are making good points. I'm just going to touch on a few things that are all connected to election and health care and everything, summing up. And I do have a way that even though it's government health care, government, that's the key that's implemented.
Real quick, John, we want to get to some more audio, so make her quick, and we'll let you get your points out.
All right. The way we can get around Obamacare is there are certain states where the government can't impose its will right here in Michigan, and that would be that we could open up hospitals on Indian reservations. They like business. It would be 24/7. The doctors could commute, so could the patients, and the government can't go onto that property, and you could maintain the status quo.
John, what if I'm having a heart attack? I got to drive to an Indian reservation?
Well, they have medevac where you can be flown in, and that wouldn't take that long. They do it to Ann Arbor all the time.
Right, but for every, you know, semi-serious incident, you have to be medevac to an Indian reservation? I mean, I like in theory, but in practicality, it doesn't sound too good.
Right, but
Pastor Rick, he's talking to you anyway.
Well, here's the thing: there is a logistics problem, because for it to be run by the Indians, it has to be on technically Indian grounds for it to work. So I do foresee a problem. Now, if you lived in an area where they're like up near Wampo Island or Six Nations of Bradford or something like that, where you have an Indian reservation.
Yeah, if you're living in a casino.
Yeah, well, and I know some old people that, and a lot of old people live there that are primary for, and that's where a lot of heart attacks happen. You can have, put the hospital in the casino.
Right in the top floor.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
No, I know what he's saying. I really do. It's just logistically, I see some very serious problems with it, as you are pointing out.
Yeah, I think it's a kind of a wishful thinking idea. It's certainly revolutionary, if you will. If we could probably spread out some more Indian reservations around the Ann Arbor Ypsilanti area, I'd be for it.
But I would point out, even then, that's not government health care. That would then be Indian health care.
Yeah.
And of course, it would give a different meaning to medicine man.
Hey, John, thanks for the call.
Right.
Okay. We have a lot of audio to get together, or to play, rather, that I have put together. And, Derek, you know what? Since we're running out of time, I want to demonstrate the psychotic, the total crazy nature of Hillary Clinton. And let's go with cut number 5.
Clinton's claim last week that she came under sniper attack in Bosnia in 1996.
I remember landing under sniper fire. There was supposed to be some kind of a greeting ceremony at the airport, but instead we just ran with our heads down to get into the vehicles to get to our base.
But those of us on that trip recall it differently. Instead of running for cover, Clinton was greeted by a schoolgirl who read her a poem of welcome. Accompanying the First Lady, Chelsea Clinton, singer Sheryl Crow, and comedian Sinbad to entertain the troops.
What stuns me about this is the explicitness of her recollection combined with the certitude in that video clip that this all really happened. Now we're told she misspoke. Why is she doing this? She doesn't need to. It just hurts her.
For that, Clinton was awarded 4 Pinocchios from the Washington Post's fact checker.
4 Pinocchios? She should be banned from the planet for saying that. But, hey, John said some things.
Yeah,
I'd
like to say,
John,
this.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but we just had to move along.
I just want to say this to John. Even though I see logistic problems with what he suggested, I will give him credit that at least he's looking for alternatives outside of the government running.
Absolutely.
And if we had more people looking for many alternatives, I mean, that might be part of a solution, but
sure.
Of an over-enveloping healthcare system. But the thing is that wouldn't be a government. That would be, again, the Indian reservation running it, and that'd be more like private run, just like the casinos are. I think we need more people looking for alternatives like John's looking for, rather than having the government pay for it.
Something like that that John brought up with the Indian reservations and health care, that's a way to tweak the system a little bit and provide some flexibility.
It's not the answer, but he's looking.
I gave him that respect, I hope, when I was talking to him. Okay, now, back to Hillary Clinton. I mean, sniper fire, Sheryl Crow. And who was the comedian she mentioned? Sinbad?
Sinbad.
Maybe we should bring them on the show and ask them what actually happened, because Hillary Clinton has a whole different idea about what actually happened. How could, like what Mike said, how could she get away with this? Well, we're kind of answering our own question, because she's a Democrat, she's a woman, she's a Clinton. Anybody else would be just totally laughed out of the race and probably put in a mental institution for such a blatant, outrageous lie. Not only did she lie, but she's a public figure. She didn't think this would come back to her?
Well, actually, she really doesn't think it will come back to bite her. And the only way it will come back to bite her is if people like you and other people on the radio keep it as a part of topic of how psychotic this woman actually is and why it would be a danger to have her in office. So starting like you're starting now, 3 years beforehand, is ideal for this woman, because it's going to take a while for just the conservative talk show system to get out enough information about her to where it might actually stick.
We have to debunk Hillary Clinton, and here's the reason it's not too early to start talking about her, because again, she leads in the polls. After the Benghazi hearing, she was the most popular politician in the country, the most respected in the world, and I saw that and I thought, she's an embarrassment. And we're going to get to Benghazi hopefully real quick here. We're running out of time, like I keep saying. But for her to make that lie up about Bosnia, that to me should have been the end of her political career, period. And instead, it was talked about for a day or so, and she was let off the hook. And that disgusts me.
I agree, and I really, but I'm going to kind of force you to change subjects here, because I hope we get to Benghazi. Today we celebrate December 7th. We remember Pearl Harbor and our reaction to Pearl Harbor and 9/11 compared to the reaction that we had towards Benghazi under her leadership as Secretary of State.
Leadership. There was no leadership.
None.
She took no responsibility for it. She should have done the honorable thing and resigned and just retired from politics altogether. And instead, she, put on that hissy fit in Congress, got away with it. And in fact, she should have said to the annex in Benghazi, you know what? I'm going to personally step in and I'm going to make sure you have the security, whether you want it or not. I don't care what the protocols are. You're going to get an over security. And I'm going to tell the Libyan so-called government, you can go to hell if you don't like it, because we're the stupid ones that brought you into power, and we're going to protect our people in Libya no matter where they're at, because this is a focal point in the world right now, and we're not going to be embarrassed and have our people killed.
I want you to remember, when this happened, she was one of the very first ones that was out spouting that this is all because of a video on YouTube. She is the one who started spouting this, knowing it was a lie. When she got caught in the lie, then she went on the defense.
Yeah, the whole cover-up, I mean, and that's one issue. But you know what, Derek? Let's just go right to cut number eight. Let's hear this.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator. Now, honestly, I will do my best to answer your questions about this, but the fact is that people were trying in real time to get to the best information. The IC has a process, I understand, going with the other committees to explain how these talking points came out. But, you know, to be clear, it is, from my perspective, less important today, looking backwards, as to why these militants decided they did it than to find them and bring them to justice. And then maybe we'll figure out what was going on in the meantime.
Hillary Clinton, it was your job to be Secretary of State and protect those people there. You are a national disgrace. That whole bureaucratic crapola talk that you just gave and the hissy fit you put on about what difference does it make, and it's our job to prevent it in the future. It was your job to prevent it in the first place.
They were asking for defense there, additional defense, and she wouldn't give it to him.
Absolutely. And you know what? And if it's true that she was so stupid, out of the loop, and incompetent that the information never got to her desk, then shame on her, because it was a no-brainer as Secretary of State to get involved from the get-go and be hands-on.
If she didn't have that information, that's bad leadership on her part. I don't want her at the White House then.
Yeah, how can that be Commander-in-Chief, that thing? Okay, Walt from Canton, you're on the Drift.
Hey, great show, guys. Pastor Rick, Dr. Drake. I'm going to tell you why Hillary's going to be president. She's a woman. It's time for a woman, just like it was time for a black man.
All right, then we get Sarah Palin running.
It's the political correct thing to do. Is that what you're telling us?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's the political correct thing. And I can't disagree with that. And that's why I'm trying to, you know what? Give me a Margaret Thatcher type person born in this country, an American Margaret Thatcher. I know that there's some other ladies that have come up and tried, but you know what? I'm looking for somebody more, like a Margaret Thatcher. That would inspire me.
The Republicans are probably going to run Christie.
Well, that'll be a shame. If they run Christie, we lose the seat. We have no chance for the presidency if they run Christie.
I hope I'm wrong.
Well, you know what? I'll take Christie over Hillary Clinton.
No, I'm telling you, we will not win. There are too many people that sit there and will not vote for another liberal in either party. I'm serious.
Yeah,
that's what happened at the last election. They said, well, I'm not going to vote for Mitt. He's another liberal. Why vote for one liberal over another?
He's a rhino, a flip-flopper, and all that.
I see the same thing happening.
And you know what? It's not like they put up Mitt Romney. It's the American people did. Shame on us. You know, because there are primaries that have consequences.
Well, I think if they had more closed primaries, literally, like the Democrats' primaries are closed in most states, if the Republican primaries were closed to Republicans, I think you would find that the turnout of who was elected to run for that seat would be different.
I think you're right. Hey, Walt, thanks for the call.
Great show.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, we're looking at Rich, don't take his call on the air. All right. Well, Let's get to another cut here, and I don't know what that means, but let's get to cut number two, patriotic Hillary Clinton, just before the Iraq War.
4 years since the inspectors left, intelligence reports show that Saddam Hussein has worked to rebuild his chemical and biological weapons stock, his missile delivery capability, and his nuclear program. He has also given aid, comfort, and sanctuary to terrorists, including al-Qaeda members. It is clear, however, that if left unchecked, Saddam Hussein will continue to increase his capacity to wage biological and chemical warfare and will keep trying to develop nuclear weapons. Should he succeed in that endeavor, he could alter the political and security landscape of the Middle East, which, as we know all too well, affects American security. This is a very difficult vote. This is probably the hardest decision I've ever had to make. Any vote that might lead to war should be hard, but I cast it with conviction.
Okay, there's Hillary Clinton. She sees the intel reports that everybody else sees. And don't give me that crap about how President George Bush and Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld, they rewrote all the intel report to make Iraq look bad and we should go after them. You know, that's a lot of nonsense. Derek, go now. Oh, Pastor Rick, your prayer for America.
Hey, this is my prayer for America. Heavenly Father, I pray that America turns her eyes back to you so you will once again shine your face upon us and show us your great favor and watch over us and bring us real peace in what is now a very divided, hurting, and wandering nation. Amen.
Pastor Rick, that was beautiful. Hey, thanks for coming in. I really appreciate it. I could not have done this without you.
It was my pleasure, Drake, and you have a blessed day, and all the listeners have a blessed day,
hey,
please.
God bless America. Derek Stone, thank you so much. Hey, speaking of art with Ed Hoffman's coming up next, you're listening to Wham Talk 1600. Thanks, everybody.